Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, Edge of Reality, on the NDB Media channel on Blog Talk Radio. So happy that you're joining us this week, either listening live in the chat room or listening on archive. We always love it when people tune in. And we have a huge show for you this week. Yes, I say that every week. Every week I mean it, though. So, you know, I can say it. We have, oh, God, so much to talk about. Lots of different shows. We have, you know, Big Brother information coming out left and right, which we got to discuss. We got to discuss The Bachelorette and that insane life commercial for The Rising Star, which is starting this week, which we need to discuss in depth. And so much more, so much more. It's going to be a big week, as always. And before I forget, I want to let you guys know we are on Facebook. Hit us up on our Facebook page. We're on the Edge of Reality. You know, like us, all week long, we put up interesting articles, state our opinions on shows that we're watching, and it's a lot of fun. We want to create a fun community of people who like talking about reality shows. So if you just like one reality show or you like them all, you know, give us a like on our Facebook page and be part of the community. Also, before I forget, I want to say, too, that if you're getting Big Brother feeds, live feeds, we have a chat room on the Big Brother live feeds. Isn't that correct, Priscilla?
Absolutely correct. We had it last year, and we had a lot of fun in there. So it was just a cool place to go catch up. If you missed something, somebody in the chat room been there and seen it. They can help you out a little bit instead of having to go read all the sites to get the scoop. So come on in and join us.
So simply, it's Edge of Reality is the name of the chat room. And if you have any trouble finding us or getting in, hit us up on our Facebook page, or you can tweet Priscilla, P-S-I-L-L-A, and she will invite you in. And, again, it's a lot of fun. You know, we love this podcast because it gives us an opportunity to talk about, you know, reality shows, which are, you know, just fun water cooler things to talk about. But beyond that, we love establishing, you know, a community and relationships, and it's just a lot. It's a great place to do it. So it's just another way that you can hang out with us. So go ahead and join. I introduced her earlier. I'm going to introduce her again. Say hello to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey,
woo!
Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Two introductions tonight, and I almost forgot about the show. That's really impressive. I'm ready to go now that you warned me and got me here because I forgot what time it was.
Sorry.
You're going to have to fill me in on anything Big Brother today because I come straight home and didn't get online and I know nothing. So I was caught up
okay.
to today with the stuff and pretty much on it. But today, I know the house guests came out today. How are they looking?
Yes. Well, we'll discuss all of that in a little bit. We'll discuss all of it in a little bit. You got to remember, you know, the podcast in the summer, we love Big Brother. We talk about it quite a bit. But don't worry, if you don't watch Big Brother or you're not a live feed watcher or whatever, we still talk about other reality shows as well during the summer. You know, I will still always talk about Last Comic Standing because I'm loving it this season. I will always talk things as it begins. There's just so many of them in the summer. You know, MasterChef, you know, and we'll discuss them. We'll discuss them. So don't worry about it. But I got to tell you, Priscilla, we discussed the show last week, talked about it for several minutes of this podcast. I sang its praises as being fun and ridiculous, a, you know, a wink and a nod, you know,
let
a throwback.
Guess.
a Fox throwback to Joe Millionaire. And you know, I was so excited about it. And then the very next day after we aired what last week, so last Friday, Fox announced that I Want to Marry Harry was being pulled off the air. It was being canceled mid-season. Now, okay, were the ratings great? They weren't the best. Have I seen worse? Yes. Is it the summer? Does Fox have a lot of original programming during the summer? Not a ton that doesn't involve Gordon Ramsay, let's be honest. So I thought it wouldn't be a problem. We were going to have I Want to Marry Harry. They also had a show on before it called Riot, which was produced by Steve Carell, which we haven't talked about on the podcast, frankly, because it was I saw an episode of it, and it was not good. But it was kind of in the vein of, you know, Whose Line Is It Anyway? It was an improv comedy thing, but like an extreme one, but it wasn't great. So those two shows were pulled off the air. The good news is you could see I Want to Marry Harry. They're having the remaining episodes online. So if you were watching it and you want to see how this plays out, you can watch every episode. Now, thinking about it, I love the concept. I loved how it worked. I loved what was going on with it. Did I have like a overwhelming need for one particular girl to win this competition? No. I mean, no. I did not care about the contestants. It was more about the format and the structure of the show than the contestants. So will I watch every single episode online? No. I will probably watch the last one because that reveal is everything. That's the most important. This whole series is setting you up for the final reveal where he says, wait a minute, I'm not Prince Harry. So it's kind of a bummer, Priscilla, that they're not letting people have the payout. I guess technically they are online, but, you know, why not just keep it on the air? Why not just do it? Last week they put reruns of the Tuesday night comedies, which I love. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I love the Mindy Project. Don't get me wrong. But don't they want a little bit of new programming? Don't they want a little, you know, Priscilla, I was not happy with this decision.
I know. I put it on Facebook, and I had to put it on there because I knew you were not going to be happy about it after you just
got
raped the day before. That's why I knew.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew it wasn't a structure that they were going to be able to do again for a long time, and we discussed it last week. But, you know, hold out. So I will watch the final episode. I will see how the reveal went down. The reveal was going to be everything. So the reveal was almost going to be like a make or break of the show. So we'll see what happens with that. All right. Let's talk Bachelorette. Wasn't on last week. We are back. Andy and the guys are in the south of France this week. And Andy is one other thing to just throw out there. Andy resigned from her job this week as an assistant BA in Atlanta. She's a lawyer, you know. She officially resigned from her job this week. So she's got the bug. She's got the entertainment bug. She's got the celebrity bug, Priscilla.
You think it's that? I mean, I read that it was because she was going to see another extension and she didn't want to ask, but they would more than willing to take him back, as the article I read yesterday. But I don't know. She doesn't seem like one that would get the bug to me.
I think she is. I think she does.
This is Juan Pablo all over again, you're saying?
Well, no, because Juan Pablo, I mean, it's all the girls. You know what I find interesting? The Bachelorettes are having way more successful post-Bachelorette careers, I guess you could say. I mean, several of them have kind of moved on and have done like show entertainment hosting kind of stuff. Allie Allie's on E, and Melissa's done stuff, and, you know, Jillian's done stuff, you know, so Andy might be going in that direction. We shall see. But anyway, they're in France, and there were a lot of conflict happening this episode, but very interesting conflict. It wasn't the usual, hey, God, she's my woman kind of back and forth. There was actually a big conversation about race on this episode of The Bachelor, Bachelorette.
Do you think they were hitting that from the things going on, was it last season or the season before that with the discrimination clauses or there's lawsuits or threatened lawsuits? I kind of had a feeling they were addressing it for that reason.
I think they were. No, I don't necessarily think so. I think they were addressing it because it was, you know, a source of conflict that you don't always get with The Bachelorette. You know, we see it more with The Bachelor, where the women will fight a little bit more. The Bachelorette, the guys are a little bit, they get a little bit more bromancy, you know, and they talk about that on the show. You know, they become pals and, you know, it becomes like a frat house almost. But so this was like a legitimate conflict. Now, the conflict was over JJ told Marquise that Andrew made a made a racial comment during the first rose ceremony. What I found interesting is this happened the first rose ceremony. We are now in rose ceremony 4 or 5. So the fact that he just decided then to tell him was very interesting. I thought the timing was interesting, if anything else.
Yeah.
Marquise, I mean, just gave, it was, you know, a great explanation for his feelings, you know, really expressed himself very clearly and very well, and it was heartbreaking, you know, the things that he was saying. And what sucked was that there was no conversation with Andy about it. It was a completely separate subject, and they talked about it a little bit from Andrew's perspective, because when Marquise confronted Andrew about it, Andrew completely denied it, and you have no idea. You have absolutely no idea if he said it or not, if the guys misheard it. You have no idea what actually transpired. But there was no conversation between Andy and Marquise, and I think that that was the one thing that it was missing, Priscilla. What do you think?
Yeah, actually, I don't remember seeing him having very much interaction with Andy at all, if any.
Correct.
I'm trying to
agree
back. So I just thought it was awful. I guess it was awful odd, the timing of it. And that's why it made me think back to all that stuff that happened last season or two seasons ago. I can't remember what it was. And because it was not... place in a way where it made sense, if that makes sense.
It would make sense. I agree. Right. I mean, was it a situation where the guys said something to the producers about, like, mentioned it in passing, and the producers encouraged them to tell Marquise? I just felt the timing was weird that they said this happened at the very first rose ceremony, and now we're on like 4 or 5. And that, but I really thought that the missing element to this was Andy and Marquise having a conversation about it, because Andy was pretty oblivious by it, I take that back. I don't even think that she was necessarily oblivious, because Andrew, they kind of had a conversation, and I would think the natural next step would be for Andy to talk to Marquise about it. And that didn't happen. At least we didn't see it. But I'm assuming it didn't happen, because if it did, we would have seen it.
Well, the really oddness of it all is Andy's conversation with Andrew, and then Marquis, he hadn't gone home. So it was just really, I don't know. It was weird to me. I just cannot put my finger on it.
They both went home.
Yeah.
Marquis and Andrew both went home.
It was a storyline that never came to grace with Andy, except for the Andrew conversation. Of course, there was probably a larger conversation what we've seen. But it just, I don't know. It's like it was a bigger deal than what we were able to see, but it didn't make sense to us because I didn't edit it right. That's what I got out of it.
Correct. And I think the reason it wasn't, the reason it feels weird is because we didn't see a conversation between Andy and Marquis. I think that you know, if Andrew comes up to Andy and says, oh, the guys are accusing me of saying something, you know. Now, either Andy truly had no idea and didn't ask follow-up questions, which I kind of find hard to believe because she was asking follow-up questions about the other situation where the guys were fighting over her, like, you know, the dude's conversation. And I just felt that it was missing, like, the Andy and Marquis talking about it. Now, again, maybe it happened. It was, you know, and maybe we didn't see it, but I find that really hard to believe because I feel like I feel like if it happened, they would have shown it in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It just made no sense to me. Matter of fact, I was a little upset the week before they haven't only been on for a few weeks, and then we had a freaking update, or I don't even know. I didn't watch it all. I thought it was stupid. It wasn't a regular show.
I'm upset
with The Bachelorette. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it yet.
They had the update because of the timing of the Hillary Clinton thing. So I don't know why they didn't just do like an hour Bachelor instead of a 2-hour Bachelor. But instead of that, you know, and Survivor has done that sometimes, like for like Final Four. You know, there's been times where like Survivors had to put like a recap show because something else is happening. And I think that, you know, I wasn't too mad. I mean, I didn't watch it because we don't need a recap, but I tend to not watch them anyway. But, you know, I just thought that whole conflict was weird.
Yeah, totally agree.
Right. Andy and Josh, the former baseball player. That is a very interesting relationship to me. Because he seems like, I mean, the fact that he says he is no longer playing baseball because he wants to start a family, but he's not dating anyone to start a family with, that did not make any sense to me. Like, that like, my bullshit radar went up, like, completely. This guy seems very con artist-y to me. What did you think about that one-on-one date made me think, oh, my God, this guy is, you know, a manipulator.
The conversation, if I remember, at dinner was weird. I was surprised she gave him a rose. I think it had more to do with physical chemistry than anything else because
absolutely.
I just didn't see it.
But I think Andy is going with the Juan Pablo school of giving everybody roses on their one-to-one. That's what I honestly think is happening because – if anything, that the second date with Brian seemed like the most awkward thing in the world, and he still got a rose.
True.
So I feel like Andy is going from the Juan Pablo school of roses, you know, giving everybody on a one-to-one a rose. That's why we need to see a two-on-one date. We need to see that happen because we know that the one-to-one dates are going to be continuously, you know, we're going to know that they're going to get roses. So we need to see a two-on-one. Okay, so I want to fast forward here because towards the end of the episode, all of a sudden there was no cocktail party and Andy said, okay, I'm gonna take out three guys this week. I know what's up. Okay, perfect. Boom. Fade to black. In comes a live commercial for Rising Star, which is starting this week, Sunday, I believe. Okay, so Rising Star, and we've talked about it on the show before, is a singing competition in which America instantly votes for the person to move on or to be immediately kicked off. Yet they have judges. They have Ludacris, Kesha, and Brad Paisley. Okay, so in order for this to work, they obviously need people to download the app. So they needed to do a commercial and in the hopes that Bachelor Nation was going to be the same demographic that would watch Rising Star, which is not a bad assumption, and that they would download the app and that they would participate in this show. So this was the most awkward thing I've ever seen. One, Ludacris wasn't even there. His helicopter couldn't land because of fog, which is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life. I have cursed a lot on this episode already in this podcast, but that is crazy to me. That is crazy. Remember when Nicki Minaj got stuck in traffic on American Idol and you go, don't these people have to be here there like a little bit in advance? Like, why would like 3 minutes before the show she's not able to get there? I don't know. But so Ludacris not being able to land a helicopter seems ludicrous to me. So then you have Kesha and Brad Paisley there, and Josh Groban is the host, and he gives you a demonstration of this wall that apparently if you get 70% of the votes, this wall lifts up and you are free to move on. And I guess if this wall stays down, you are no longer in the competition. That's what I got from this commercial. I could be wrong on this, but this is
what I got.
Good.
Do you know what the publicity on it kind of sort of with the app and all that reminds me of is that Ryan Seacrest deal where they did it live. It's kind of similar, I think. The app
Easier
to use, though. I haven't downloaded it yet to see, but it appears as though the app will be easier than the other app from when Ryan Seacrest did that.
The app is just you swipe it one way if you like someone, you swipe it the other way if you don't like someone, and the judges get to vote as well. And if they vote, their vote counts as 7%. So 7 times 3 is 21. If all three judges like, that's already 21%, which is good. That's a good thing. So Josh Groban said, if you guys all vote, we get to 70%. I will show you a premiere for Bachelor in Paradise, which I am so excited for Bachelor in Paradise, Priscilla. You have no idea. I am so ready. I love Bachelor in Paradise. I love it. I'm so excited. Okay, so anyway, that was the part of the show that I was most excited about. Now, so I'm thinking to myself, what happens if people don't vote? I guess they will vote. I guess, 70% doesn't really mean anything. I mean, 5 people can get it to 70%. You know, I guess it could, I don't know. The concept seemed ridiculous. The promo seemed ridiculous. And I saw a little review of the commercial on, I think, Reality Blurred, in which they said, essentially, Josh Groban, Kesha, and Brad Paisley all looked like they hated each other. Like, there was, like, no, like, judge chemistry there between anybody.
I was surprisingly impressed with Josh Groban being a host, actually. That kind of, and I didn't think he did a bad job for the first time going live like that. I was kind of impressed with that just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit. You don't think he did a bad job. See, that's the thing. Your expectations are low, Priscilla. He's hosting a reality singing competition. He has to do well. Like, you can't just be like, oh, well, you know, he wasn't a he wasn't horrible. And he didn't make me want to, you know, throw up. So I guess it was okay. No, like, I mean, yes, he did okay. It wasn't great.
And going live, I thought he did an okay job. How's that?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's true. But they're going to need more than okay. They're going to need some camaraderie between the judges. They're going to need some fun and some interplay. Josh Groban is capable of it. Like, he is a super funny guy. He knows how to make fun of himself. Like, you know, if he's comfortable, you know, but I will say this. You know who else is a funny person that made a horrible host?
Let me think. Tell me.
Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, yeah. And she was one I wasn't thinking of.
Khloe Kardashian. So, I don't know. I mean, it's all, we'll see. Will I watch this? Yeah, I think I will watch the first episode because I'm curious and I watch reality shows and then talk to you guys about it. So, I will totally get on board and watch at least the first episode. But I don't know. I don't know. The commercial was weird.
Duets,
I don't think it was a great representation.
Duets all over again, maybe?
Say that again. Oh, duets. Nothing could be as horrible as duets. So.
Oh, come on. You don't give it enough
duets
credit. I like duets.
Duets was atrocious. Duets was atrocious.
Oh, please.
It's all right.
No.
It's all right. You can like duets. It's cool. It's cool.
If they would have done it, if they wouldn't have said it was a singing competition and revamped it a little bit, it would have been fine. It's just how the
fans
were running that under.
Okay, it's just how they marketed it and told everybody what to do. And yeah, no, that
you
doesn't work.
You finally said it.
I know. So a couple things I want to throw out there. So you think you can dance? Again, we're still in the audition process, so there's not, like, a ton to talk about. Believe me, when we get more into it, I will talk about it more because I love it. But it is doing really well in ratings this season, so I'm very excited about that. It's off to a really good start. So I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. That's great news. NBC announced today that Bear Grylls is going to have a limited reality show. I think they're calling it an alternative show, which I find interesting, but essentially it's a reality show. And it's Bear Grylls taking a celebrity into the wilderness, which it's going to premiere July 28th. And it is only 6 episodes, but Zac Efron, Channing Tatum, and the host of the Today Show, and Tom Arnold, a couple people, a couple of known people. I mean, these are celebrities, you know, legit celebrities who are going to be taking part in this. And I like Bear Grylls. I kind of wished his survival show was coming back because I liked that last summer. Remember that show, Priscilla?
Yeah.
The Wilderness Show. I mean, I like that. I thought that was a good kind of show, and I liked Bear in it. So I think that's going to be fun. I think that's going to be a cool show, and I can't wait to watch that one. Okay, Big Brother. Let's just start talking about it. I know. That was a big transition. I know. I had other things on my mind. I'm like, what am I gonna talk about next? I'm just gonna talk about Big Brother and then I'll talk about challenges at the end. So we are less than a week away from the premiere. It's a 2-night premiere, which we've learned that 8 of the house guests are gonna be introduced one night, 8 of the house guests are gonna be introduced the next night. So we know that much. It's gonna be next Wednesday and Thursday. Julie Chen announced on Tuesday that for the first time in Big Brother history, there is going to be two HOHs and four nominees, but also for the first time in Big Brother history, HOH doesn't automatically guarantee you safety, and that there's a new competition called Battle of the Block. Beyond that, Julie also said that there's also a Team America in which, you know, the voting public becomes super interactive with the show. And, you know, is given questions and kind of like Glass House in a way, like the voting public is going to have more in a say of different twists and people safety throughout the course of the show. So, you know, before we talk about anything else, let's talk about this right here. Two HOHs, four nominees. Priscilla?
I think I'm glad it's something different. I think it's going to be complicated myself. I think it's going to be neat because you know how everybody, if they're a fan or they've watched the show or they've watched previous episodes and aren't even a fan, have kind of a strategy with how to play the veto and all that kind of stuff. So this kind of throws a little niche in it to make you have to revamp your game and be more on the fly, which I think will be neat. I'm looking forward to see how it works. I'm ready for something different.
I'm looking forward to seeing how it works as well. I feel like it could go really well or really badly.
I think people. The amount of people. I mean, you're going to have to take it back normal.
The amount of people on the block.
Yeah.
And we've seen that before. We've seen that before where Big Brother has nominated several people in the house at once. And you know, it gets, there's a lot of people on the block and it, I don't know. Part of it is it doesn't.
I don't think they're going to be able
about
to do
that
for a
is
a
that
few
everybody
weeks.
Stays on their toes. Say that again,
yeah.
Priscilla.
They're going to only be able to do it for a few weeks because at some point you're not going to have enough people to do it.
Sure, but that's how most of the Big Brother twists work. I mean, I think, the good thing about it is that everybody stays on their toes. But the bad thing about it is, you know, multiple people are on the block. And, you know, we've seen it with the finals of Survivor, for instance. I mean, multiple people on the block doesn't normally change voting outcome, meaning – you know, most of the time there are landslides for one person, and it doesn't matter how many other people are on the block. You know, it's one person going out, especially in the first couple weeks. Now, this is a scenario that I would like to see. I have no idea, but this is what I'm thinking. This is what I would kind of like to see. Okay, two HOHs, they each have two nominees. Then there's a battle of the block. The losing team goes up on the block, including the HOH. So there's three nominees. There's the two people that were originally on the block with the HOH that put them up there. And then the HOH and the two nominees are safe for the week. I think that would be interesting.
Yes, that would be. That would make you want to fight for it harder. You know how some people kind of like to lay back and not win competitions? This would make them want to win competitions.
Well, it would make you want to win Battle of the Block, but would it necessarily would it make you want to win HOH? I don't
right.
know.
That's right.
I mean, for HOH, the one advantage of having HOH, because, I mean, there's two main advantages, which is you get to take somebody out and you are guaranteed safety for the week. If you're not guaranteed safety for the week, HOH is far less appealing.
Now, when they did the walkthrough with Julie, the bed was smaller, but they only showed one. But they had already announced that there are going to be two HOHs. So your thought on that could possibly be correct, because I did not see a second bed unless it's in the other room where they have the Pandora's box at, like they did before with coaches
yeah.
were there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see that. I mean, I don't see, like, one person getting that huge room, then the other HOH room getting that coach's room. I don't know. I mean, it could, that could be true. You're right. But I would like to see, like, a battle, and then, like, the HOH or the winning HOH takes four and takes the remaining people and they decide which to go up. Something to that effect. That would be interesting to me. That would work. Now, speaking of the walkthrough, the house looks friggin' cool this year.
It does.
I love it. I love it. It's a the urban treehouse nature kind of vibe. And it looks super cool. And they wanted it to be cool and colorful because this is the first year that they are filming in HD. So, you know, they wanted a big, colorful experience. And I think that's what we're going to get. So I'm excited about
since they've revamped the cameras to HD, that they've also revamped their microphones, too. So we can hear on the feeds.
Well, hopefully, but who knows? Who knows?
But,
I'm sure they do the best.
They have a lot more interactive stuff with the feeds this year, too.
Yeah,
Golden Boy
yeah,
Jeff I think, be in charge of it, I think.
Yeah, I think so as well. And I think that, you know, they've really, now that, and we discussed this, I think, last week, now that CBS is taking ownership of the feed, I am sure, I mean, this is a business to them. This is a revenue stream. So they want to make it as appealing as possible. And you're guaranteeing, if people are buying the feeds, they're watching the CBS show, you know. So it's a guarantee, like, people are watching your show, people are committed to it, it's another revenue stream. I mean, why not up the ante and make it as cool and interesting as possible? Have little shows, do interviews. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Jeff, but, you know, they want Jeff to do interviews. So, you know, I wish there were other people doing it instead, but, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And he's getting better at it, I will say. But, you know, I wish, you know, I thought Chelsea was a way better interviewer. You know, Dr. Will, you know, there's so many other people that they could have. And hopefully maybe they'll rotate. Maybe you'll see some other returning. You know, I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either, but I don't know. But I'm glad about that. Now, let's talk house guests for a second. Now, predicted wrongly that returning players would come back in some shape or form. I didn't know how. I didn't know why. I just thought they will be there. You know. Now, we have
how many did they release
people.
Today?
16.
16? Really?
16 newbies. Now, does that mean that there couldn't be a returning player twist of some sort still? But there could be. There could be. But it's not looking like, I mean, if there are, it's not, and there might be two, maybe get it to 18 with some double eliminations or, you know, you know, there's still a way for returning players to.
I was wondering. I haven't had time to sit down and think of the weeks, but if they did bring back, say, four, and since they're having four on the block now, I don't know how they're going to work that. It's a possibility that more people would go home in a faster amount of time to get them in the weeks. Plus, they have longer time now, like a couple extra weeks. They could still throw them in.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, they could. They very well could. I'm not saying that they're not, but we were introduced to 16 new players. Now, I'm good with that. I like new players. I like new contests. This, our friend and local and not local, listener of the podcast, Steph, emailed me today, and she said, "This when I was looking through this cast, it looks like a Big Brother UK cast. I mean, I think the most diverse the show has been, which is pretty major. Not everybody is 22, although lots of 22-year-olds, but not everybody's 22. There's some older people there. I mean, and I say older, and they're 40. But
whoa, you know, whoa, older. It's right on track for me.
I know. So I mean, you know, we're seeing some diversity. I think that's a good thing. We're seeing, you know, it's a interesting cast. I'm not gonna. I put it up on the web on our Facebook page. You can go through and look at the profiles of all 16 of the house guests. You can also go. There's interviews of them. I purposely don't listen to the interviews beforehand because I like going in with a super fresh, like, I like knowing as little as possible about them. That's just how I like to watch Big Brother, because I feel like the interviews don't really do anything except for make me mad. Like the time I got mad because the one guy made fun of Janika, I did not like that. So
Jamaica, we got Jamaica in here already, and the season hasn't even started.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be talking about her all season. I love Jamaica. Season 8 Jamaica. However, there is a contestant who, house guest, who is a minister, and she reminded me of Jamaica. But reminding me of Jamaica and being Jamaica are two separate things.
Way two separate things.
I'd rather Jamaica.
Yeah.
Yeah. So also in the house, I will just throw this out there because I think this is going to have a major impact on Team America. There is a guy named Frankie, Priscilla, and you I don't think you know this. Frankie is the brother of a celebrity named Ariana Grande. Now, do you know who Ariana Grande is?
I do not.
Okay, did not think you would. And people I talked to, like, half knew and half did not. Ariana Grande is a Nickelodeon star. She's like a teen star on a bunch of Nickelodeon shows, and now she is a singer. And you, if you see her, you will know her. She's been on like a ton of award shows. She's performed at the Grammys. She's performed at like, you know, the Billboard Music Awards and stuff like that. She's kind of all over the place. She's like this up and comer, like, you know, singer, performer, actress. She had a show on Nickelodeon, and then I think her cast member like posed naked in something and they canceled their show. I'm not even joking. I think that's what happened. So that's what happens when you have a show on Nickelodeon and one of your guests does that. Okay, so, but she is, to a certain demographic, she is like the it girl right now. Not to your demographic, Priscilla, but to other people's demographic, you know. And this is major news. Like, I've seen this all on Twitter today, all on Facebook, just tons of media outlets are picking up specifically that this guy is the brother of Ariana Grande. So you know that demographic comes out in mass to vote for people and to support people. So I feel like this guy, being the brother of Ariana Grande, Frankie is his name, is going to have a huge voting advantage right out of the gate.
Well, for the America's part, how is that going to work? I haven't read up on that yet. Are we going to have a lot of voting, a little voting, a percentage?
I'm sure it's going to be quite a bit. And I'm sure, you know, throughout, you know, and Big Brother, the past few seasons has made voting, you know, voting for who gets, I might be confusing Big Brother Canada and Big Brother United States for a second, but like who gets Pandora's box and who gets, you know, secret. I am confusing Big Brother Canada because Canada voted last year for like who got a secret power and who got a veto and who got the golden diamond power of the, you know, and all these other, the Tyler Perry veto or whatever.
That was Survivor, wasn't it?
I know. It was. But I want there to be a Tyler Perry veto. I want Julie Chen to be saying, like, the Tyler Perry power veto. That would crack me up. But, you know, I think that is going to be far more interactive. I think that there's going to be a lot more voting for that. And I think that this dude has a major leg up because of it. So we shall see how that goes down. Hopefully he's not a – and it will be very interesting to see if he mentions who his sister is, because I remember Kara Monica was Kelly Monaco's sister, and she did not talk about it. Kara left pretty quickly in the process. That happened a couple of years ago for coaches. She was on the coaches season. But she did not – she told Dan, because Dan was her coach, but she didn't really throw it out there that her sister was an actress. And people are going to absolutely know who Ariana Grande is in that house. He shouldn't say it. But I wonder if he's going to.
Huh.
I don't know. I don't know. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm ready.
I wasn't until I started. I got on the feeds the other night to set up our chat room, and I was watching a couple of the interviews, and I'm like, I think I'm getting ready now.
I'm getting ready now.
You know how it is.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Tonight premiere. Let's just see how it goes. Hopefully this cast isn't super racist right off the bat. You know, we can just relax and have a good time. let's just hope. We'll see what happens. So, all right. We'll talk about Big Brother next week, because our next show will be right after the two-night premiere. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about, and then we'll know far more about the Battle of the Block and all that kind of stuff. So I want to talk challenge. We have been promising for weeks we're talking challenge. Challenge free agents, I'm loving this season, Priscilla. I'm absolutely loving this season. Cool mix of people. It's a great mix of newbies and vets and people who cannot necessarily dominate and hold court because of the nature of the game. You know, we've seen Johnny Bananas go into several eliminations. Poor Cara Maria has been in a million of them. You know,
oh my gosh.
We've seen vets who we haven't seen go into eliminations in years and years and years go into them very early. And I like how they structured it this season. It's just a really great season and a great way to introduce, you know, the vets are getting older and there's a definite separation. Like CT and Johnny Bananas are the old guys there. And because of that, CT and Johnny Bananas are hanging out all the time together. And you would have never seen that. You would have never seen that in previous challenges. But because they are the vets, they kind of are forced to hang out together. But the cool thing about it is that rookies are not necessarily going home first, so it's allowing you time to get to know people so that when these people are back on again, you have more of a rooting interest because you don't know how many more challenges that Bananas and CT can be on. The girls especially, the girls are, you know, there's not a ton of girl vets. You know, a lot of, like, Evelyn is gone, you know, Paula is gone. You know, we're kind of Cara Maria and Janelle and Anissa are really the girl, the female vet. So they're really allowing us this season to get to know more people and I think that's a complete benefit to them as we go through to challenges in the future. Priscilla, your thoughts?
I've said from the beginning I thought we were going to be able to see a lot of the rookies and the people that we haven't seen in the past and compete more fairly than having an alliance that all the vets and they kind of would gang up on the rookies. I think it leveled the playing field a lot. I think it was very genius, and I think they should kind of keep that format somewhat where it is a team at some aspect, but it's more of an individual at the beginning and middle and end, I guess you'd say. I mean, you have to
well,
have
the cool thing about Challenge is very similar to Survivor and different, you know, they mix it up. So, you know, there's an X's, and then there's a Rivals, and then there's a Battle of the Seasons, and then there's a Free Agents, and then there's, you know, they
well,
always
but even
mix
with
it up.
All
and
that.
I don't,
go ahead.
No, I mean, I know what you're saying. Even with all that, you would like them to continue to have this draw. I don't know. I mean,
they could revamp it, not necessarily the draw, but instead of being voted in by, you know, a heavy alliance on the heavy side of numbers, going in there, being friends, hanging out outside the show, yada, 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 that they have the luck of a draw, or they have the luck of, you know, picking straws. I don't care what it is.
See,
you would never
see
Benina going in the past.
Yes and no. I mean, I, as much as I love this season has not been, there's been some great campaigning and politicking moments with Janelle, but other than that, there hasn't been a ton of campaigning. There hasn't been a ton of strategy and politics. So if you like that in a challenge, you're going to want to see a different format for the challenge. I think that they should keep this structure in their regular rotation. You know, just like they've had several Rivals and several X's and several Battle of the Seasons and things like that. Free Agents should be a part of their kind of format.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time picking words tonight. I like it because that if you on the winning team, you're safe. If you're not on the winning team, you don't know. I mean, you have one going in that knows for sure that they're going in, but it's up in the air on the other. It's not necessarily who you know. And there could be more campaigning going on that they're not showing us, but actually, I tell you, there's been some really good duels, though. Really good duels.
Great.
And friends.
Really great duels. You know, really good challenges. Sometimes the challenges, the actual competition, really suck. But this has been a strong season for challenges. It's been a strong season for duels. I mean, it's overall, it's been a fantastic season. So, you know, if you're not on board, get on board. There's a couple episodes left before the finale. You know, check it out. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people who are like, oh, you know, I used to watch it back in the day, but not so much. I don't watch Real World anymore. And the thing is, I'm not watching Real World a ton either, but I still watch Challenge. And even though I don't know a lot of the new people that come in, it's you don't necessarily need to in order to get into it. So I totally say, you know, a couple episodes left, definitely watch it. I'm loving it. Real quick, I also want to say, you know, we haven't talked about these a ton, but, you know, because there's some shows there's not a ton to talk about, you know, Bachelorette and Survivor and Amazing Race and Big Brother and Apprentice, and there's certain shows that lend itself well to, you know, having conversations about strategies. But, like, I'm loving MasterChef this year so far on Fox. I'm loving Last Comic Standing. It's so good. It is so good, guys. You know, I really hope people are watching it. And Bravo is just killing it for me this summer. Like, I am not a huge, like, the Housewives franchise, I've kind of gone a little south on. We've talked about this, but, like, Married to Medicine, I freaking love. Million Dollar Listing, I love. Untying the Knot, which is a new show that they have, I love. The People's Couch, I think it's just one of the funniest shows out there right now. Not a reality show, but still really great. And I am so excited for Top Chef Duels. You have no idea. That's coming in August. So I am just loving what Bravo is bringing to the table right now in terms of shows. I also wanted to, I'm skipping topics quickly, but we only have a couple minutes left, and I have a lot of just random things to say, Priscilla. I mentioned boot camp, reality star boot, marriage boot camp, and you mentioned you read that Evil Dick was in one of them, and he's not in that one, but he is on VH1 Couples Therapy with Dr. Jen, which we have talked about in the past. There's been a couple seasons of it. Evil Dick is going to be on this season, which I think is happening in July. Complete in July. I'll get that date for you guys. So I wanted, because Priscilla talked about it and mentioned it, I did a little research because I was like, no, I would know if he was on that marriage boot camp thing because I watched
Krista
the preview.
Krista and Ryan are on it, aren't they? Which surprise?
Krista and Ryan are on the marriage boot camp as our Gretchen and Slade, and it's kind of a, and you know, I only watched the preview of it, so I can't really. I mean, it is what it is.
I just pulled it up last night on my on-demand to watch because I didn't realize that it was already three episodes in. But it really surprised me when I seen, because Trista and Ryan, especially Ryan, is a very private person. And they just renewed their vows for Bachelorette or Bachelor, Where Are They or whatever episode they had, which was really odd.
Maybe they need money. I don't know. Because I feel like
one of the previous he found her in bed with another guy was one of the things where I'm sure they're editing it heavier than what it really was just to get you to watch it, but I haven't watched it yet to see what it entails, but we'll see.
Yeah, and I think Trista and Ryan might be on this episode, this new season of Couples Therapy with Dr. Jen, too. So, yeah, it's on VH1. We've talked about it before. You know, there have been several, I think maybe this is the fourth season of it, but I watched the first season. It was interesting and, you know, and then it was one of those shows that I, you know, I'll watch it if it's on, but I didn't make it a huge point to watch it. But I will watch it this season for Evil Dick. Even Evil Dick said on his Twitter today that on the show he says the real reason why he left Big Brother 13. So that will be interesting. Mm. All right, so that's it for us this week. Next week, Big Brother premiere night. Big Brother premiere night. Plus, So You Think You Can Dance. We are at Vegas auditions next week. Last time expanding, we're getting into the semifinals. Challenge, we're getting into the finals. So we'll have a ton to discuss. I want to thank everybody listening live in our chat room, everybody listening in archives, and we will see you next week. Have a good night, everyone.
Night, everyone.